Amen. Christ is indeed our hope in life and death. Amen. We can confess that together. Thank you, choir, for that. Take your copy of God's Word and open with me to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. We want to put a finger there and also go to Genesis chapter 3. So Psalm 32 and Genesis chapter 3. We're continuing today our summer in the Psalms. We've set apart this summer. We haven't forgotten about Colossians. Don't worry, we're going to finish that when school gets started back. But we've set the summer aside to look at selected Psalms together. It has been, I hope it's been beneficial to you. It's been enriching to my soul to look through the Psalms. It's a different genre than a lot of the scriptures. It impacts us in a different way. Thanksgiving of his sins being forgiven. Some think that this psalm is related to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's confession once he's confronted by the prophet Nathan about his sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, we see his prayer of confession. And some think that this follows that up as a prayer of thanksgiving, regardless of if that's the context. It's true that this is a prayer of thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving for God's saving work, for God covering our sin. And our sermon title today is related to that idea. Who covers your sin? That's our sermon title this morning. Who covers your sin? You see, what we will see here in this psalm in just a moment, David is thankful that his sin has been covered, and specifically been covered by God. But what also stands out to me in this psalm, and one of the phrases I'll highlight it here in just a moment, get there, is that we see that there is another option for who can cover your sin. Who can, I better say, try to cover your sin. There are kind of two options here in this psalm. Back in Genesis 3 and then see two options for trying to cover sin. But only one of those is effective. Only one of those leads to life. That's what I hope we'll see here in Psalm 32. So we'll read Psalm 32 to us in its entirety. And then there are six statements I want to share with you that I think we need to know. Six truths we need to cling to today. So let's look at Psalm 32, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayers to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in a rush of great waters they shall not reach you. You are a hiding place for me. Preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. Counsel you, be not like a horse, but not understanding, which must be heard, where it will not stand. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright. Six truths I think we need to know and cling to this morning. Number one is this: your sin must be covered. Your sin, my sin, our sin has to be covered. And that is a truth that works Genesis chapter 3, we see here, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have just sinned. The serpent has tempted Eve. She ate of the forbidden fruit. She gives some to her husband who was with her. He eats. And here's what the scriptures tell us. Verses 7 through 10, Genesis chapter 3. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He hesitated, and he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid it myself." Go to verse 21. This is after God has given them the curse. The serpent, the woman, the man, all cursed for sin. And verse 21 tells us that it said the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, clothing. You see, the very first sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, when sin entered the world and they recognized their own sin, the very first thing they tried to do was to cover themselves. Right? Physically, that was a part of it, but that is teaching us and showing us this grander reality that they also show when they go and hide themselves from God's faith. They sew fig leaves together, they cover themselves. Once they recognize they're in sin, it brings about this understanding and recognition of sin in their life. But then, when they hear God walking in the garden, what do? They go and hide themselves. They go and cover themselves in the bushes or plants or trees of the garden because they are trying to cover themselves before a holy God. They recognize that they have disobeyed the commands of God and that sin has separated them from God. Even if they could maybe articulate that in that way, maybe you've experienced the same thing in your life. But I'm giving my testimony now, and I'll say things about when I came to Christ, and I'll think, I wouldn't have said that then. I didn't understand it in that way, that fully. I didn't understand the full weight of what was going on, what was happening. But now looking back, I do, and I believe we see something similar here. Maybe Adam and Eve could fully articulate why it is that they had an urge to cover themselves, to hide themselves from God. But what we know to be true is that sin separates us from God. And the weight of that sin, like Julianne was saying with our children here, we feel that when we sin innately within us because the law of God is written on our hearts. And so when we sin, even if we don't know the word sin, even if we don't know the law of the command of God, we know that there's something wrong within us, and we try the best we can to cover ourselves. And sometimes that's we try to cover ourselves with good deeds. We try to cover ourselves with philanthropy. It's also many times we deep sin and just discovered good. I thought that was a good thing. I thought that was a nice way to just look at all this good that they do for other people and how much they help and give. There was recently, this massive raid and arrest about people who had this kind of underground bunker that they were using to abuse children. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. And one of the ladies who was arrested just a few days ago, I saw people at screenshots of her Facebook. She's sharing about her process. How she loves her children, not the very children that she was allowed to be drugged and abused. Try to do is on the outside put a front out and cover ourselves to hide our sin. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want people to know. We don't want anybody to know. And so Adam and Eve are trying to cover themselves and hide themselves because of their sin. And here's the truth. We have to recognize that feeling is within us because it's something that's true about the world that God has created. That is this truth. Your sin has to be covered. It cannot be. But it's an awful thought. It's a scary thought to think about our sin laid bare and exposed before humanity. But you have to editorialize it here. You have to read between the lines a little bit here. But there are many who believe that this is the first sacrifice for sin. And if Adam and Eve, who have tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, are now covered with skins of animals, what had to happen to that animal that they got the skin from? It had to die. Death was not in the world yet. And God himself makes for them these garments of skin. The implication, I believe, is that God himself makes this sacrifice to cover them for their sin. Our sin was being covered. Now back to Psalm 32. Truth number two. Allowing God to cover your sin leads to life. Look at the verses. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Brothers and sisters, God wants to cover your sin. Just like he did with Adam and Eve. He comes in the garden, they're hiding from him, they're covering themselves, they're trying to be away from him, and he comes, he calls them out. Yes, they have to pay a penalty for their sin, right? They're cursed. They have to leave the garden, but God covers their sin before they leave the garden. He makes a promise to them that one day the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And by God's grace, Jesus did just that. When he died on the cross for our sins, he crushed the head of the serpent, and he paid the penalty for our sins. And so, when we allow God to cover our sins, that leads to eternal life. The psalmist tells us, blessed is the one who God doesn't count their iniquities against them. Blessed is the one whose sins is covered. But here's what we have to recognize. God is the one that does that covering. If we try to feebly cover our own sins, we don't have the ability to take ourselves to life. So we have to recognize that in order to be on a direction towards life, we have to trust God to do something for us that we can't do ourselves, which leads to our third truth. Number three, covering your own sin leads to death. So allowing God to cover your sin leads to life, but covering your own sin leads to death. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Kept silent. So the psalmist is saying, blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquities, whose sin is covered. But he says, but when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand, God's hand, was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat. So you see, when we try to cover our sins, it doesn't free us. It doesn't help us live in freedom and live in light as Jesus would tell us to. Because we know it in the New Testament in John, Jesus says that the truth will set you free. You see, God's truth leads us to freedom. And when he covers our sins, that leads to life. He leads us to freedom. But when we try to cover our own sins, it is like heaviness on us. It is like torment on us, where the psalmist even equates it to our bones were wasting. And I would suggest that we have all felt that feeling before in our life. I would assume that as we read that, there's some part deep inside of each of us, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that goes, I know exactly that feeling. I know the feeling of having hidden sin, of doing things and setting it aside, thinking that no one can see it, thinking that no one knows, thinking that no one will ever, ever know. And so I'm fine. And all the while, the inside, the weight of sin is killing you. I'm here to tell you, if you continue down the path of trying to cover your own sin, it only leads to death and destruction. Because you do not have the ability to pay the price for your own sin. So we cannot just sit and continually try to hide ourselves.
just wipes us out. We think we get out of it, and nobody knows. And maybe you get through this entire life, and no other human ever finds out about it. But one day, you stand before a holy God, your sin will find you out. If you are the only one covering your sin, you are in trouble. Now, that's bad news, but here's some good news. Number four, confession is the vehicle. So our sin has to be covered. Allowing God to cover your sin leads to life. But covering your own sin leads to death. But here's how we get from point A to point B. How do we get from me covering my own sin to God covering my sin for me? The answer is confession. Look at verse 5. The psalmist says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my own. And I said, I will confess my transgressions before you. See, the psalmist says, as I was trying to cover it, as I was trying to hide it, and David is saying, I was trying to keep it under wraps, and my bones were breaking and melting away, and I felt the weight and the heaviness of all of that. And then, when I stopped trying to cover my sin, when I didn't cover my own iniquity, when I acknowledged it to you, when I confessed my sins to you, God, I did not cover up. The last sentence there says, you forgave me. John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm not making a guess at this. I'm not shooting in the dark here. I'm standing on the authority of God's word to say that if you confess your sins before a holy God, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all. If you are feeling the weight, like the psalmist was here in verses 3 and 4, of covering your own sins that is leading to death, I'm here to tell you that the weight of that sin can only be taken off by confession to God. And it is a promise. God isn't saying, we'll just give it a try and I'll see if I feel like it that day. Or it's a 50-50 shot. We'll see how lucky you get. It's a quick clip. You confess, I'll figure it out. The promise is, if you will confess, he is faithful and just. Truth number 5. Having your sins covered is urgent. Having your sins covered is urgent. Look at this first part, just the first part of verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayers to you at a time when you may be found. You see, there's a time coming where the offer of the forgiveness of sins, there is an expiration date on that. And that is the day that Jesus comes back. When he comes back to judge the living and the dead. When he comes back to repay each one for what they have done in this life. That day is approaching. We don't know when it is. But it's coming. And I'm here to tell you, when that day hits, when that moment hits, the opportunity to confess and to have your sins covered by Jesus is over. If you stand before God on that day only covering your own sins, you will be alone. Because God is holy and righteous. By no means clears the guilty. Every sin ever committed must be paid, must be covered. It's urgent that we confess our sins and that we allow God to cover our sins offer prayers to him while he may be found, while it may be found. Having your sins covered by God is urgent, not something to be done. Last verse 6. Having your sins covered is crazy. You can read the rest of that psalm, but just for times I can read just verse 6. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright. Now think about the journey the psalmist has taken us on. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered, whose transgression are forgiven, who God has covered it. And he talks about the weight of unconfessed sin. And he talks about the freedom that he finds in confessing sin and how once he confesses and stops trying to cover his own sin, but God forgives that sin, and he's urging us to make that confession while God may be found, and he closes the psalm by saying, shout for joy, those of you who have your sins forgiven. Those of you who are blessed, those of you who have allowed God through his Son to cover your sins, rejoice and be glad in what God has done. Show a mind of praise, that of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to God for what he has done. Can people look at your life and see that you're have abundant gladness and thanksgiving because your sins are forgiven, that you fully understand the weight of what that means for your life? Because I look at my own life and I look around the life of others around me, there are times that it looks like we don't really understand what God's done. So the level of thanksgiving and praise and adoration we give him doesn't show that we fully understand what it is he's done. When I was a youth, there was a movie I was drawing a blank on the name of Tommy Lee Jones. But then they say something to him about showing his happy face and the real sternly. Sometimes that's what Christians look like when we're talking about how good God has been to us. We sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But our face looks like we've got tortured on our heart, right? Does our lives show an attitude of thanksgiving and praiseworthiness to God for him covering our sins? If it doesn't, I'll encourage you to consider, why is that? Why is that that I don't rejoice, as the psalmist says, and shout for joy, as we see here? Could it be that you are trying to cover your own sins? That you're thinking that God has to try your hardest to make that plan to cover it yourself? Or is it just that you haven't fully pondered the full weight of what it is that God's done for you? And you need to do that in order to bring about what praise and thanksgiving can. I can't judge your heart. You have to examine and ask God. But people say, you know, like Adam, you know, I'm going to offer forgiveness. Trying to run and hide from God. Do not let the urgency of this one pass you. We encourage you, as the psalmist says, to pray out and to ask God to cover your sins while he may be found, because that helmet may be free for you. Hold up and stand and sing the song of response. This is an opportunity. If you've never asked God to cover your sins, you can ask him to do that now. If you've never called out to him for the forgiveness of your sins, you can do that now. If you're tired of carrying the weight of trying to cover your own sins and your bones are melting away because you were trying to do this all on your own, let today be the day that you give that weight over to God and rejoice what he's done. However God's going to be for you, so let's stand together. Let's stand together. As we your spirit is moving.